Good morning and welcome to our Memorial Day Sunday service. We are so glad to have you with us, and I pray that in spite of this weekend being what it is, that you will still find time to remember those who fought to provide us with the very freedoms that we enjoy. This morning, Brother Marty in just a moment is going to come and lead us in our worship music, and right where you're at home, feel free to sing along with him. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, mighty Father, we just thank you for this glorious day in which you have given unto us the opportunity, Lord, to be once again standing in your behind your sacred desk. And, oh, Lord, all that is done here today, may it bring glory and honor unto you. Father, we pray for souls that may not know you this morning. And, Lord, we just pray that through this music and through the word today that many souls will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, we also pray for those of us who are saved, Lord, to strengthen our faith in this season of life. And Lord, give us the wisdom and the guidance that we need as we move forward day by day. But Lord, we just thank you that this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen and amen. Brother Marty, would you come?
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern impassion stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Oh, beautiful for heroes prove in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Our God is marching on. I have seen Him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded Him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read His righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before His judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer Him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with the glory in His bosom that transfigures you and me. As He died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. He is coming like the glory of the morning on the wave. He is wisdom to the mighty, He is honor to the brave. So the world shall be His footstool and the soul of wrong its slave. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on.
Our God definitely is marching on, and our God is a great and awesome God. And family and friends, I don't know how many of you have thought about this or would equate Memorial Day Sunday as a time of thanksgiving, and yet I believe that's exactly what it is. This is a very different time in the history of our world, in the history of my own life and many lives, and yet in times past, on this particular weekend, and especially tomorrow, parades have been held, and people have gathered together to go and to remember all of the brave men and women who gave all to provide us with the very freedoms that we have enjoyed for so long now. And so I pray that despite the current situation, that you will take the time to remember those who gave all, to say a prayer of thanksgiving and for their courage and their service. This morning I invite you right where you are at home to take your Bible, be turning to the book of Ephesians. You will find that in the General Electric Power Company of the Bible. That is Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians in the New Testament. And we will be in that second book there of Ephesians. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and then be finding the 10th verse. And for it is here that we discover the Christian soldier and his armor that he needs. And so I just invite you to turn there, Ephesians 6:10. And I want to talk to you this morning about a particular kind of war. It's a spiritual war that is raging, and it's a war we do not oftentimes think about. And because oftentimes we fail to pause and to consider its implications, we fail to realize that this war, lives have also been given. The text here in God's Word, if you will, teaches that all Christians are a part of this spiritual battle. And thus all Christians need to be clothed in the armor of God so that we can stand our post effectively. Listen to me, the closer we move toward the rapture of the church, especially in the times in which we are living now, it is important for Christians to stand their post and to stand with their God. And so this morning, God's word to us from the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, beginning in the 10th verse, the word of our Lord says unto us, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Would you bow your heads with me in a word of prayer? Well, Father, this morning I've entitled this message, The Christian Warrior. And Lord, certainly as we see the morals and the implication of society degrading around us, Father, we know that you are calling us to be the salt and the light of this earth. We are living in some dark times, oh Lord. We're living in times that when men call that which is evil good and good evil. And Lord, more and more we are saying where a Christian soldier needs to be clothed in the heavenly armor of Almighty God. So Lord, as we think about Memorial Day, as we think about those who gave all, as you speak to us through this message, Lord, I pray that your will would be done, that you would be glorified, that lives would be changed. And Lord, that all who listen to this would be just a little bit stronger in our faith, just a little bit more aware of the spiritual war that rages around us, that we might stand our post. In Jesus' name, amen. Allow me to ask you, family and friends, what the following names have in common: Stephen, James, Philip, Matthew, James the Just, Matthias, Andrew, St. Mark the Evangelist, Peter, Paul, Jude, Bartholomew, Thomas the Apostle, Luke the Evangelist, Simon the Zealot, Antipas of Pergamum, Justin Martyr, Origen of Alexandria, William Tyndale, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, Reunoke. What do these names have in common? They are the names of a few, just a few, who gave their lives as martyrs for the cause of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. You know, Jesus preached in Matthew 10:25, and then again in verse 38, the following words. He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and followeth after me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." You know, the psalmist knew something about the spiritual war we Christians face, for he penned these words in Psalm 34:19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." And thus it should not surprise God's child that God's word teaches, yea, in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." God goes even further in His word, saying that no man should be moved by these afflictions, "For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." The names mentioned were martyred because they considered the message of salvation and through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ more important than their own lives. I don't know if you've stopped to think about this, but do you realize you and I are in a place called church? You've gathered together every week on since this pandemic on YouTube, Facebook, or the television. But you are here. You, many of you were taught as little children the importance of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And friend, it's because there were those who gave all, those who believed in the power of God and in the message of salvation, that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And one day you and I are going to step off into eternity, and we're either going to step up with Jesus or we're going to step down away from Jesus. You see, we're here today because our grandparents and our parents considered it so important to teach us the importance of salvation. And these men gave their all, reminding us of something else the Lord Jesus preached: greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what they did. They laid down their lives for the gospel, for the hope that men and women the world over would come to salvation in Jesus Christ. It's why I stand in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday proclaiming the word of the Lord in the hopes that someone somewhere will hear and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I pray that would be today. Listen, these men died some horrific deaths. Simon, Stephen, the first Christian, he was the first Christian to be martyred. He was stoned to death in 34 AD while preaching salvation to the Jews. James the Great, the son of Zebedee, Jesus' disciple, was beheaded. Philip the apostle was crucified. Matthew the evangelist was killed with a halberd, which is a combination of a spear and a battle axe. James the Just was beaten to death with a club after being crucified and stoned. Matthias was stoned and then he was beheaded. Mark the Evangelist was dragged in the streets of Alexandria and then he was beheaded. We're all familiar with Peter. If you know anything about Peter, you know that Jesus told Peter one day he was going to go to the cross, and Peter had to learn to get comfortable with that. And Jesus told him that, and we remember early in Peter's life as a disciple, when Jesus began to talk about the cross, Peter began to rebuke him, and Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." We're all familiar with the fact that Peter denied Jesus three times, but we're also familiar with the fact that Jesus restored Peter to salvation, to his faith, and we're all familiar with the fact that Jesus told Peter, "Peter, this is how one day you are going to die, and for the next 30 years, Peter had to learn to become comfortable with the fact that at some point, somewhere, sometime, he was going to be crucified. And when that time came, Peter chose to be crucified upside down so there would be no mistake who the real Savior was. Paul was beheaded in Rome. Jude was crucified. Bartholomew was flayed alive, and then he was crucified. Thomas the Apostle was killed by a spear. Luke was hung. Simon the Zealot was crucified. Antipas of Pergamum was roasted to death in a brazen bowl during the persecutions of Emperor Domitian in 92 AD. Jim Elliot and Nate Saint were speared to death while attempting to evangelize the Wodani tribe in 1956. Ryun Oak was executed in June 2009 in North Korea for distributing this book, God's Holy Word. There have been many. And why does God want us on this particular Sunday, Memorial Day Sunday of 2020, to remember these? Because the time is at hand when more Christians are being martyred for their faith than at any other period in the history of the world. And I believe in America, for too long, we thought of martyrdom, that's something that doesn't happen here. It happened over there. Happens in foreign places, not here. Oh, preacher, not here. But friends, as we come closer to the end of the end times and the rapture of the church, we need to consider the truth that all we see taking place in America and around the world means that the fiery trial of persecution can happen anywhere, at any time, to anyone, and God wants us to know that this should not surprise us. In fact, God says in His Word, beloved, 1 Peter 12 and chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. That's the same Peter who for 30 years had to get comfortable with the fact that one day he would be crucified. This is that Peter who writes these words to encourage us living in our time. Are you aware, dear Christian brother and sister, that Jesus preached in Mark 13 and 13, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Did you ever think you'd see a time in America when you'd have politicians claiming that Jesus was a hoax, that Christianity is a mind game, that those who believe in Christ are somehow demented? We are seeing a change in America today, are we not? There is a war that is raging today. It is a spiritual war. And our text here in Ephesians describes the battle as between light and darkness, good and evil, heaven and hell, Christ and Satan. And yet far more often than we'd care to admit, few Christians today don't even realize they are a part of this great battle. Family and friends, as Christians, we are heaven-born and heaven-bound. But our text makes it clear we are born for battle. As Christ ones, we must understand that not only were we born for the battle, but when we were born again, we were also born to win the battle. Jesus Christ said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And because He overcome, so shall we. Don't ever think that a martyr lost their life. Friend, they gave their life. They didn't lose. They gave. Their willingness to lay down their lives, as we've accomplishes two things when we think about it. First, it encourages others to press on in the battle. I don't know what battles you may be facing this morning. I don't know what battles the current situation of the pandemic has brought into your life. But friends, one of the things this encourages us is to press on in the power and in the name of Jesus Christ. And second, souls are rescued from the devil's grasp in battle. If you are a saved, born-again Christian, you are a born-again Christian because 11 men shook up the world. 11 men preached in the power of Jesus' name. 11 men brought souls to Christ. 11 men rescued people from the hands of the devil and pointed them home to Jesus Christ. And that's our position. That's our responsibility. Jesus said, Go ye into all the world and teach. Tell others about me. Baptize in my name. What few realize, perhaps, because it isn't being taught, is that the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, a saved soul is enlisted in the Lord's army. Now, I don't know where the songs have gone in the church Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. But there was a time when the church sang the song. They understood we are marching. There is a spiritual battle raging. There are souls to be won for the kingdom, and we need to be engaged in the battle. If you're a saved soul and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you understand, friend, that nobody can do what you can do? Nobody's going to travel where God sends you. And wherever God sends you, He wants you to be the salt and the light of the earth to reach people for Jesus Christ. And so what better time than Memorial Day to talk about Christian warfare? I want you to understand something in verse 11. Our text points first to the Christian warrior and his adversary. Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. A warrior must know their enemy so they can be properly prepared for the battle. Now, likewise, we must know who our enemy is so that we can properly prepare for the battle. Our enemy, of course, according to verse 11, is a decided fact. There's no disputing it. God just tells us this is a decided fact. There is an enemy. He is the devil, and he's got something else going for him. God wants us to know two things. There is a devil, and second, how we can stand against him. God's word teaches that our enemy is a decided fact, but he is also a destructive force. And because he's a decided fact and a destructive force, Christians need armor to protect themselves from him. He's a decided fact, a destructive force. He's also a strategic foe because God uses the term the wiles here, meaning he is sly and deceitful. Satan, we know, is all of these and more. Peter warned us. Many of you may be familiar with 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, prowleth around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is a decided fact. He's a destructive force. He's a roaring lion, but a lion we cannot see in the flesh because our enemy, according to verse 12, is spiritual. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, if we could only see him. Well, friend, if we could see him, we'd still be no match for him. But for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, our enemy is a spiritual enemy. One who has many minions at his disposal, because John warned us in 1 John 4 and 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, there used to be a time when you could go to church and the man up there behind the pulpit, he would declare, thus saith the Lord. And you would know when you were in the church, he wasn't preaching his opinion. He wasn't being a jokester. He was telling you the word of God. He was giving it to you straight. He was giving it to you right. He had studied to show himself a workman approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. But friend, you know that in the last 20, 25 years, that's no longer true of our nation. Sometimes you got to wonder who you're listening to. And that's because the Bible tells us that we need to try every spirit. Do you want to know what every church's greatest mission ought to be today? It is to protect the pulpit, so that they know when they're sitting in church that they're hearing the Word of God and nothing but the Word of God. Verse 12 tells us that our enemy is strong. And in our flesh, we're no match for him. And yet, in all these years of ministry, I am continually amazed at how many Christians think they can handle his enticement and his temptation. How many family and friends have had to suffer a few defeats in battle before we finally wised up and before we finally realized we came to that conclusion and we realized that in our flesh we are no match for him. He's strong. He's also sinister because he works in dark places. And he's wicked beyond belief, listening to God's description of our enemy and witnessing what is taking place in our nation and the world around us. It would be very easy to grow quickly discouraged. We have biblical evidence of that also. We can just go back and remember Israel's first king Saul and the armies of Israel as Goliath of the Philistines stood against them, defying. He was a giant. He was a mighty warrior who was defying the Lord, and he was just doing nothing more than the devil's bidding. We have people like that in the world today, and he drove fear into Saul and into the enemies of Israel. And yet there came a puny little shepherd boy named David, and David saw him as no other warrior saw him. All those warriors clad in armor were no match for him. But there was little David. And little David said, I'll take him down. He's defying the Lord and I will go to him. And David reached down and he picked up five smooth stones and he had a slingshot. Why'd he pick up five stones? Goliath had four brothers. When David went to war, he was going to win the whole war, nothing but the war. And David swung his sling and boom, down went the enemy, because when you fight in the power of the Lord and you're clothed in the armor of God, there's no foe that can stand against you. One of the great things we need to understand today is that our enemy is a defeated foe. If we will be strong in the Lord, isn't that what verse 10 tells us? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not strong in me, not strong in you, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our enemy is a defeated foe. We got to fight the way the Lord tells us to fight. We got to be clothed the way the Lord tells us to be clothed. You see, the Apostle John wrote to remind and encourage us, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Oh, hallelujah, if you're a saved saint, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. You are all powerful in God. But never mistake the fact you have to stand in the almighty power of God. Our adversary may be mighty, but friend, God is almighty. Therefore, he's greater than our adversary, and the devil cannot overpower Almighty God. And he cannot overpower the child of God who is living by the Spirit of God and walking with our Lord Jesus Christ. Greater. Oh, I love the verse. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit resides in the heart of the Christian. Never forget that. We have an adversary. But if we will properly prepare, we will succeed in the battle. Now, no warrior goes into battle without having his armor on, does he? And thus, our text points to, for you and I, the Christian warrior and his armor. Notice again in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, not just one piece, not just a part of it. Put the whole thing on, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Can I ask you, family and friends, are these days evil days in which we're living? They most certainly are. Stand, therefore. Note the encouragement. Stand, therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, we got to put it all on. Every piece by prayer. Remember this, if you and I don't get clothed in the armor of God, we're going to fail in battle. Former UCLA coach John Wooden said, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And I'd like to challenge you this morning with this thought. If you have failed at times in your Christian life, I'd like you to remember those times and go back and just ask yourself this one question. When I failed, was it because of a lack of preparation? And I will guarantee you, when you think about that, you will come to the conclusion that yes, it was. I fell and I failed because I did not prepare. Therefore, we must do as God commands and put on the full armor of God. And we must first put on, he tells us here in verse 14, the girdle of truth, which is the believer's integrity. Satan's attack. Us, he lies to us, he wants us to get us thinking about things that are untrue, because he knows if he can get us to listening and to believing things that are not true, he can bring a lack of integrity into our lives. This is why Jesus encouraged us to know the truth, because the truth will set you free from such nonsense. And therefore, we must put on the girdle of truth, which is this precious Word of God. Can I ask you, dear friend, how much of this Word do you know? David, whom we spoke about, said, "Thy Word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." How much of this Word is right in here in you? I hope you know the Word of God. Oh, you don't have to remember every verse, but I hope there are some verses that you got hidden down in your heart that you can pull out and you can use to defeat the devil. And then he goes on and he says, we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And he's speaking about a believer's purity. Purity simply means that in the life of a Christian, there is to be no unconfessed sin or unrepentant sin in our life. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:8. One of my brothers just loves the Beatitudes. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." How pure is your heart this morning, friend? Have you brought your sin to Him? Have you said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Have you given your heart to God? And wise old writer of Proverbs warns us, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Purity is one of the key areas that the enemy loves to attack with impurity, with lust. Oh, friend, it is against these things that we must strive with all diligence so that we can remain pure in heart. Standing firm with the breastplate of righteousness guarding our heart. You see, it's two ways the things get into our hearts, aren't there? There's this old eye gate, the things we see. There's this old ear gate, the things we listen to. It goes in here. And it goes in here. But where does it come out? Right here. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You don't have to be around someone very long to know what's going on in them. All you've got to do is listen to what's coming out. And friend, if you put junk in, y'all know what you're going to get coming out. We have to keep our heart with all diligence. And then we're told to wear the shoes of peace. He's talking about the believer's peace. We're to be at peace with God. Do you have peace with God this morning? We're to have peace with one another. Do you have peace with one another? in the body of Christ? Is there somebody you got something against, or somebody who has something against you? Have you gone to them to seek to make peace? There are so many Christians today who are living unpeaceful lives simply because they're not focused upon Christ. They're not standing firm in the armor of God. The psalmist knew the meaning and necessity of this for the believer's life, because he wrote in Psalm 133:1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It is a unity, a spiritual unity that we all share together in Christ, that allows us to hold on to the God of all peace. The Bible tells us, "In everything, with supplication and prayer, make your requests known unto God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God shall guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus." Friend, let me ask you something. Are you a warrior? Now think about that. Do you get all excited when things aren't going your way? Does your nose get out of joint? Does it cost you sleepless nights? You know, there are a lot of people who say, "Well, it's not worry, I'm just concerned is all." Friend, call it what it is. It's worry. You know, worry's like a rocking chair, isn't it? It gives you something to do, but it sure don't get you anywhere. We need to pray. We need to take our cares. And what the Bible tells us, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Do you not realize that God works 24/7, 365 days a year, so you don't have to? We need to give it over to God, don't we? That we might have peace. The Bible says in Psalm 119:165, "Great peace have they which love thy law." Family and friends, peace is the antidote to discouragement. Now the enemy loves to throw his arrows of discouragement at the Christian warrior. He loves to wear us down, don't he? So how can we be peaceful when the arrows of discouragement come raining down upon us? By hanging tightly onto the shield of faith. We know the song, don't we? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The shield of faith is our certainty. Though the attacks of doubt come, and they come to us all, if we feed our faith, we starve our doubt. How well are you doing when it comes to feeding your faith? And then he goes on and he says, "Put on the helmet of salvation." The helmet of salvation means both a mind under the control of Almighty God and the assurance of deliverance. Did you know that until a person gets saved, they're out of their mind? Family and friends, a lost person is out of their mind simply because they do not have the mind God intended them to have. And it is not until they get saved that for the first time they are in their right mind, because they now have the mind of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have to know our adversary. We've got to clothe ourselves with the armor, because we are in a spiritual war, and in war, warriors attack. That's why our text also points to the Christian warrior and his attack. It's not simply enough to put on the warrior, the armor, if you will. Every warrior is going to be called sooner or later up to the front lines. Sooner or later, we're going to be called to join in the fight. What will guarantee our victory? It is the place of our stance. Our text again tells us, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." How can the Christian warrior take this stance? Because we stand in the finished work of Calvary. Listen to me. When Jesus said, "It is finished," we won the war. Dear friend, as a Christian, we're not fighting for a victory. We're fighting from victory. The writer of Revelation tells us, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That's how Christian warriors take their proper stance. We stand because we know by faith the power of this word, which is our sword. The writer of Hebrews reminds us of the power of this word in Hebrews 4 and 12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we have our Lord's own example in Matthew 4, standing firm in battle against Satan. Each time Satan came to him, our Lord Jesus said, "It is written. It is written. It is written." And so it is. We have our stance. We have our sword. But we also have the provision of the Holy Spirit. Every warrior needs a ready supply. And our supply comes through prayer as we converse with our Heavenly Father. Now note, we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit means we let the Holy Spirit direct our prayers, because the Holy Spirit, He understands the enemy more than we do, doesn't He? He knows exactly what we need. And therefore, God commands us to press on in the attack against the enemy so that we can be successful in our spiritual battles. Ask any veteran of war, and they'll tell you war is draining. War can wear on you. Fatigue comes to all warriors. Physical battle, spiritual battle, it doesn't matter. Sooner or later, you're going to get worn out. Amen? And that's why our text also points to, finally, the Christian warrior and his allies. Friends, we cannot fight the enemy and succeed as a one-man army. We're to pray for one another. I pray for you. I hope you pray for me. We fight with one another against a common enemy. That's why God brings His people into a place called the local church. We all know there is strength in numbers, so God gives us brothers and sisters to pray for us as we pray for them, strengthening one another through the power of the Holy Spirit by prayer. There's no greater gift given to the child of God than the gift of prayer. We must remember that in battle every people chooses sides. Let me encourage you to choose sides carefully. I want you to know, as we close this message today, if you're not following Jesus Christ, if you've not repented of your sin, if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are on the losing side. Have you come to Jesus? And I pray that if you say, "Yes, I have," then let me ask you, friend, are you dressing daily in His armor? Are you putting every piece on by prayer? When persecution comes, will you be prepared for the battle? You know, Job put it best when he said, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." If you're a Christian, I want to encourage you, don't try remaining in neutral. Because if you are, you're just going along to your own destruction. Jesus said, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Don't be one of these Christians out there today who's trying to live with one foot in heaven and one foot in the world. That's what King Saul tried. And God told old King Saul that partial obedience is the same as witchcraft, is the same as being in bed with the devil. Don't be in bed with the devil. Get right with God today. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." Whose side are you on today? You know, one of the things I noticed through the years when I had the opportunity to coach midget football, to be involved with children's sports, is every child wanted to be on the winning team. They never wanted to be on the team that was losing. They always want to be on the winning team. Well, friend, when I think about that, when it comes to this, are you on the winning team? Are you on the Lord's side? Have you come to that point? Most important question that will ever be asked you. Have you come to that point where you've repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? I hope so. Father, we thank you for your word unto us today. And in just a moment, Brother Marty's going to come and sing a short invitational song. And Lord, right there at home where people are, I pray as they've listened today that they've taken it all in. Lord, right now there's someone out there who's listening who has never prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And oh Lord, we've prayed for them throughout this week. We prayed for them this morning, a brother and I on the phone, for people to come to know Jesus. And Lord, we just pray this morning that this message would not fall on deaf ears, that there is a soul right now who's on his knees crying out, "Save me, dear Jesus, I am a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. Save me today." And for that Christian child who's out there today, no matter what age they might be, these words this morning have pointed to the fact that we need to be engaged in the battle. We need to be clothed in the armor. And Lord, they might be praying, "Oh Lord, clothe me, forgive me for not putting on the armor, forgive me for not understanding the times in which I'm living, not understanding that I'm not fighting against flesh and blood. It's not what people do or don't do to me. It's a spiritual battle, and there's an enemy, and he's fighting against me, and I need to get clothed. I need to get dressed." And Lord, I pray they'll get dressed this morning, and that you'll bring peace to their heart and comfort to their mind. And Lord, most of all, we just thank you for the privilege of being able once again to preach the Word of God. Thank you, Father. Brother Marty, you come and close our service in song.
On earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, a peace that was meant to be with God as our Father. Brothers, all are we. Let me walk with my brother in perfect harmony. Let this begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my solemn vow, to take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it be peace.